So, good afternoon, everybody. Anybody in the room, anybody that might be listening on the radio. I want to just start off with a very simple with a very simple statement, and it is from the book that we're reading, Experience Your Perfect Soul, and it says, truth, truth, truth. You are the foundation of my life, O truth. And I see that as a simple proclamation, a simple acceptance of what is. And today I have noticed in so many of our sharings, starting with Carrie's sharing from A Course of Love, and the title of that sharing was Not Other Than Who You Are. And then when I listened to Muji just now, in his interaction with the questioner, he was helping her to recognize as well that you're not this other that you believe you are, you're who you are. Referring her away from all of the ideas that we have that we're invested in that our Thought of Awakening talks about today. It says one idea that you are invested in is the idea of who you are. Your thoughts speak to you of who you are and what you need in order to be happy. And yet, these thoughts are obstacles which blind you to what you are. And they are ideas that teach you how to have the experience of not being happy, of not being happy. And so, when even this questioner in the Muji setting was speaking of, something that I've also had that line of thought that coming from, who is it that's really questioning? Who is that's really asking these questions? Who is this uncertain one that does not know who they are and would need to ask questions about that? Who is that? And that's again that false idea of who I think I am. And like chapter 14 in A Course of Love, you're not other than who you are, no matter what idea you tell yourself. It doesn't matter. Pick any idea. You can never be the other. Ever. Ever. And so let that go and accept the truth of my foundation, which is life itself. I am life itself, and that foundation is only truth, only truth, no matter what I think. So yeah, I'm glad for that. when I went on to read from the tip that Regina had given us today, she talked about the mind to some extent, and she talked about the story of the vineyard that was in NTI, and that today's reading says the vineyard is a mind that is shared among God and his creations. And so my question was in my contemplation, what is mind? And what I got immediately was never mind. And that was it. That was it. Never mind. And so I left it at that. And that also ties in with many of Karen Worth's meditations, where she addresses some inquiry into looking for, looking for the mind, trying to find the mind, trying to find a thought. And so it's well worth the effort to look, because what I have discovered is there really isn't anything there. There really isn't anything there. It's just all fluff, all fluff. fake news. There's no meaning to any of the thoughts, any of the ideas. And each of the ideas that I entertained has as its purpose the experience of not being happy. Here, I'm going to offer you this thought, and I'm going to hide the fact that this thought is a vehicle that leads to suffering, that leads to unhappiness. And so, unless I'm really paying attention to, what's passing through the mind in the sense of, am I latching on to this? What is the offering here? What is its purpose? Is it serving this elusive thing that I call the mind, or is it serving this this personal self, little me, Kathy, an individual, or is it for the purpose of healing, unity, seeing oneness? Cindy says to hear that. Because I have been doing who I am inquiry, and I'm always left with that same sense that I had as a child laying on the lawn when you read what was on the other side of the sky. When you read what was on the other side of the sky. And so we're looking at each idea that I'm invested in. Why would I be invested in it if its purpose, if it's teaching me? I was reflecting on that this morning as a parent. All the teaching that goes on between a parent and a child, and I have two grown adult children. I still call them my kids, but they're grown adults. I have a 41-year-old son and a 38-year-old daughter, so they're not like kids anymore. But I was reflecting how, when they were young and coming up, that parenting, I never questioned passing on the ideas that I had about everything and anything, passing those on to my kids, and thinking that I was trying to be helpful, that I was trying to be a loving parent, that I was trying to do the right thing, that I was trying to help them live a happy, healthy life, all that madness. And to be told here that one idea that I'm invested in as a thought of mine, a meaningful thought, a thought that I consider loving, helpful, caring, all of that, I'm geared toward, in this case, helping my kids be happy, was really a teaching in unhappiness. And I didn't feel guilty about it, but there was just that sense of wow, how upside down everything really is in the relative world, and how it's the reversal of all of that teaching and all of that construct, every single idea, giving up all thought. All of it. I mean, it simply has to go. It serves no meaningful purpose. And if I say I want to be happy, and that's for me, it's more I want to know in direct experience always the truth of who I am, the self who I really am. That's what I want to know. I want that experience over even this idea of the experience of happiness. I don't think I have this craving to be like, I just need to be happy because I feel pretty happy most of the time. I feel pretty settled most of the time. I feel, but not all of the time. So I'm still in the process. And when I'm given these quotes, this thought of awakening, like today's, look at what I'm invested in. Look at what I'm invested in. Each idea that appears in the mind, am I invested in it? What purpose does it serve? And if I see it, if I see my investment in it is because I'm trying to serve the little self, to prop that self up in some way, shape, or form, I am mistaken. I am sure to experience unhappiness. And so, yeah, watching diligently the thoughts in the mind and letting them go, letting them go, letting them go. And one other thing I want to share before we get into reading Experience Your Perfect Soul. I watched Bentinho's audio or sharing yesterday that Carrie so lovingly had posted, and it was one of Bentinho's most recent sharings from the Hawaii retreat that he is, or maybe is still engaged in. And one of the things that he said that, kind of caught my attention in a practical way. He said, imagine if you went to a movie, and these aren't his exact words, so please excuse me if I get it a bit off, but the general idea was this. So imagine you're going to a movie theater, and when you go to the movie theater, they start the movie and they show you the movie for 3 to 5 seconds. And then they stop the movie, and for the next, hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, they show you the commercials, the ads, the popcorn and Coke that you should go buy, and you have to sit there for two, an hour or so before they show you the next 3 to 5 seconds of the movie. And how he likened that to where we place our attention. His practice of giving 3 to 5 seconds an hour just to placing your attention back with awareness, back with presence, back with the truth of who you are, the foundation in your life. You wouldn't tolerate that if you were going to the movie theater. You would want to see the movie. You paid to see the movie. You want to see the movie. And yet we tolerate in our daily life the watching of this movie that is composed of thoughts that I'm imagining apart from the mind of God and then believing in, and eating popcorn and drinking Coke while that movie's going on, wishing that I could be happy and wishing that things would get better. And wishing that my mind would clear itself of this insanity, and wishing that it was different than it is, and wishing that I had more money, and being sad about somebody being sick, or on and on and on. That's the movie we prefer to watch. And how do we pay for that? We pay for that watching with unhappiness. That's the price. If we went to the movie theater and they did that to us, we wouldn't tolerate it. And I thought that was such a great way of looking at that movie analogy once again. Yeah. So today we will be starting in Experience Your Perfect Soul. Which is a book of no fluff. That's just my description that straight away is sharing only who I really am in truth, and pointing to reinforcing that over and over and over again, not just in 3 to 5 seconds, but with every word that's given, and every maybe explanation that comes through me, and I share. I'm grateful to rest in that. So this piece is called Face Me, Face Me, Face Me. It's funny I said that three times because the next line is Receive Me. Receive me. Receive me three times. Be willing to face me. Willing to face my love. Facing my love, light shines through every problem. Facing me, you receive the living substance. The soul's eternal gratitude fills your atmosphere. And we read today in one of Regina's tips, I think, and I can never, and it could be NTI as well. I can't keep track of it all anymore, but it was from one of those sharings about gratitude. Real gratitude is simply the recognition of the truth of myself. I mean, what else really is there to be grateful for? That there would be a direct experience, a direct knowing, a, as Carrie said today, a she was asking us for examples of not just knowing the words, but having that direct experience of living that life in this real, in this, you know, a relative reality as we know it, and feeling grateful for each expression of knowing my truth, the foundation of my life. And this again, this is saying, facing me, you receive the living substance. The soul's eternal gratitude fills your atmosphere. So that gratitude isn't coming from like a person, Kathy, in recognition of those snippets of time where I'm given over to seeing who I really am or experiencing who I really am, stepping into who I really am. It comes from the from who I really am in truth. That's where it emanates from. So for each time of willingness that I'm willing to stay there, rest there, let that be my atmosphere. That's what I receive. That is the living substance. That is the living substance. And it doesn't come from a, you know, an I, a personal I at all. You may return to love, the essence and the power of love. Face me. I am you. I am life. I am truth. I am life. I am you. Face me. Yeah. Yeah. Don't turn away. Yeah. So this next piece is called The Source. Yeah, Cheryl, Every Breath by Sting. I love Sting. He's one of my favorite artists. I still have that CD that I listen to surprisingly when I'm out working on my art. I often listen to my iPod, and Sting is I listened this week to Sting. So one of my favorite artists has his own spiritual gifts to give, and through his music, and I've always appreciated that. Yeah, that would be great if you would play it at the end. That would be terrific. Always happy to hear Sting. So, yeah, kind of give me a cue in case I get carried away. Okay, 4 minutes. Okay. Just kind of like, you know, give me a little bit of a cue at the end, and I'll see how it all goes. Thanks. So this is the next piece is called The Source. The source seems to you far, far in space. There is no space. All rests within. I think Muji said the same thing, something similar to that, to the gal, in regards to a question she answered. She said something about, being space or open space or empty space. But this is saying, when we see that, we're again seeing from the mental picture. The space seems to you far, far in space, like somewhere other than who you are. And so this is saying there is no space. And that's that confirmation, once again, not other than who you are. You're not other than who you are. There is no space. All rests within. Turn your eyes from results which seem divided to indivisible oneness within the eternal, living, breathing source. Stand at your source, no matter how swiftly the waters course. Let no outflowing stream take you to its destination. I love that. Let no outflowing stream take you to its destination. To me, that's that reminder, look within. The flow stems from within. Look there. Don't be distracted by external looking. No matter how swiftly the waters course. Yeah, stream of thoughts, Doug. Yeah, a dove. Outgoing stream equals a stream of thoughts. Yes, don't get lost in a stream of thoughts. And if you notice yourself lost in the stream of thoughts, simply dismiss those thoughts and turn your attention back to stillness, back to awareness. That's it. That's it. That's all we're asked to do. Be willing to look within. Yeah. Yeah. And I like this. The path ahead is smooth and filled with long, sweeping waves of joy. Accept the wonders as they pass before your eyes, but ever abide at your source. And I really appreciate the positive aspects of it. I don't want to gloss over those joyful sentences that we quickly, oh, I, yeah, okay, don't long sweeping waves of joy, wonders as they pass before my eyes. What does that really mean? Get into the listening to the mind that wants to be such a drag, so unhappy. Yes, Dove. Yes. I will be your reader. Send me an email and remind me, please, or I'll write it down after I'm done with this. But this is telling us the path. It's not saying the path ahead is rocky and filled with thorns and it's going to be terrible and it has to be miserable. That's not what this is saying at all. And yes, that's the dualistic standpoint view, the opposite piece of the coin. But this is not what we're asking us to look at right now. It's saying right now we're being told the path ahead is smooth and it's with long sweeping waves of joy. Accept the wonders as they pass before your eyes. Don't get stuck on them. Don't get stuck on them. Accept them, be with them, but they pass too, because your joy comes from the ever abiding in the source. They can come and go, shift and change. The crap can hit the fan, and that can shift and change. And you're still experiencing waves of joy and wonder because you are abiding as source, with source, as yourself. That's the deal. Yeah, the joy is real, the thoughts are not. That's the deal. The moment you turn and look at the mire below, like I said, the mire below, that's when we're paying attention to ideas, believing them to be real, getting lost in a stream of thought, believing myself as an individual, little person. That's the mire. The moment you turn and look at the mire below, that moment, love is cast aside as unimportant to you. And so, what is more important in that moment? What is more important? You know what it says today in our thought of awakening? What's more important is that I be unhappy. Of course, that's not what the trumpet is blaring at that time. It's saying, look to me, I can make you happy, and I'm going to show you in some way, shape, or form, not content, form. Look outside, look to me, go back to your habitual patterns. And I'm going to promise you happiness. And we go, okay. As if we haven't experienced that voice before and its effects. And we're going to fall for it again, knowing it's not so. There's nothing there for me. Nothing there for me. And that is the decision to cast God aside. And tell myself this I'm seeking God. I mean, we lie to ourselves so often by believing the insanity of the mind and what it offers. So in that moment that we notice that we're mired in some sort of, thought process. Actually, being what I'm thinking is meaningful. If I could simply also remember God, do I really remember God? Yeah. Do I really want to cast love aside? That's what I'm doing right now. I'm willingly casting love aside. I'm being fooled, and I'm not a fool. I am not a fool. I am truth. Truth is my real foundation. It is important that I have a direct experience of that truth. Father, be with me now. Let me be mired in you instead. And I can repeat in my mind in that moment, truth, truth, truth. You are the foundation of my life, O truth. Whatever mantra comes to you, whatever you remember to solidify that truth and loosen yourself from old habits. The consciousness of love is divine purity. On and on it goes until at last awakening. In itself, oh, wait, I got that wrong. On and on it goes until at last awakening in itself, it finds its foundation in the heart. Excuse me, let me grab a drink of water. Excuse me. On and on it goes until at last awakening in itself, it finds its foundation in the heart. In the heart. Not in the mind, not in the intellect, only in itself. Love only knows itself. Truth only knows itself. No, like the chapter 14 from A Course of Love, not other than who you are. It own love only knows itself. Love me beyond your present knowledge. Love me through shining zones yet undiscovered. Love me through shining zones yet undiscovered. The way is gloriously free. And Karen Wirth this morning in our meditation, she said that her focus was to know herself as freedom. And she was directing us to see what concepts we were holding in the mind that imprisoned us, what ideas that were there in the mind right as we were in that meditation time. What am I thinking? What idea is occurring to me? And she was sharing in her particular case the idea of roles and roles and like the role of being a wife, roles and responsibilities. Those were the thoughts that were occurring within her mind. And she was noticing, she was aware that she was aware of those ideas. They are simply ideas that are within her mind in this particular instance. But again, our lesson today, our thought of awakening shared with us that our ideas are our investments in who we think we are, not who we really are. And that was her particular inquiry during the meditation. But she The purpose of looking was to see that attachment. I'm a wife. I have these responsibilities. I have these obligations. And she was freeing herself from the attachment to that idea through this meditation. And this is saying to us, the way is gloriously free. Free. It's not attached to anything. It doesn't even know of attachment. It only knows itself. The way only knows the way. The way of love only knows the way of love. It only knows itself. And surprisingly, the next section is called Love. There is nothing to meet in me but love. There is no yours or mine, for my soul is one with your soul, one with your life. In me, we are united. That's the, that unified field that we've been learning about, also, the unified field. Which knows no separation. Cindy, you're asking me a question. I like to hear that. Is it on the website? Are you talking about the gloriously free? Yes, Karen's meditation today, in fact, today's meditation. Reflecting on our thought for the day is on Awakening Together's website. And so it is about being gloriously free. Say hi to your ponies. See you. Give Izzy a hug for me. I hope it goes well. Bye. Bye, Carrie. Okay, so take time to dwell in me. And there it is. Take time to dwell in me. Take time to do that. It's not a joke when we're told that. Take time. Take time. Use time for its intended purpose. That's where the happiness comes. That's where the joy is. So take time to do that. Take time to dwell in me. Time to glow in the love of the living presence. Time to glow. Glow. Time to glow in the love of the living presence. I love that. And so that was the end of that section on love. And this next piece is called Living Light. And right away, it makes me think of Carrie again asking us to be living light, asking us, how is living light showing up in your day, in your ordinary day? It's not about, waiting for some, special occasion, or it's just living your ordinary life as it is. It doesn't have to change. Nothing has to be, your circumstance doesn't have to be altered. You don't need to go to Portugal to see Muji. You can be right in your own, bloody circumstance, whatever it might be. And you are the living light. Already. And so this first sentence says, start with the nucleus of living light and be still. And the nucleus is, for me, it's the heart that was just spoken of. Go into the heart, go within. Start there. That's the residence of the living light. And be still. Be still. So again, start with the nucleus of living light and be still. Be still. 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 At intervals, call. Truth, come forth. Truth, come forth. Truth. Come forth. Your answer is in the process of revealing itself to you. Rejoice in the light of truth. And that was it. So we start in the heart. We're still. We rest in that stillness. We find ourselves distracted by thoughts. Call out to truth. Come, come forth. Reveal yourself to me. Come forth. Show me. Come forth. I demand to know the truth of who I am in direct experience, and I am willing and grateful. That is my only truth. And again, this is saying your answer is in the process of revealing itself to you right now in your everyday ordinary life. And rejoice in that light of truth. This next piece, I don't know that I'll finish it. It's qu No, I definitely won't. It's quite long. It doesn't seem like I'll finish it. I don't know that. But it's called Come Unto Me. Oh boy. Be true. 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 Not pretending. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've definitely noticed that these particular sections that I've been reading are all about repetition. Three times, three times, three times. And one of Michael Langford's suggestions is read, for instance, chapter one in The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. You read it three times through, three times, before going on to chapter two. And we can all, just reflect on our own personal experiences. Is that in fact the advice that we are taking? And it's not about, feeling guilty if you don't, but we have direct instructions so often that we can simply ignore. It's like, eh, I'll just go on to the second chapter. And we don't do it. Something as simple as that. And so I've noticed certainly here, this is saying be true. Not once, not twice, but three times. Be true, be true, be true, be true, true, true. Not pretending. That's what it means by that. Not pretending. Don't act like you're doing the practice. Don't say you're doing the practice. Don't pretend to yourself that you're doing enough already. Don't lie to yourself over and over and over with the thoughts in the mind that say, I'm a loser. Don't believe any of that. That's not true. You're just pretending to be somebody other than you are. Stop pretending. Give yourself space to gain strength, looseness, life in its fullness, looseness. I loose the world from all I thought it was. Give yourself space to gain strength, looseness, life in its fullness through quietness, through love, through complete faith in me. I am ever, ever with you. There must be a foundation, a secure rock of faith to stand upon, a place to meet the immortal one in man. So again, we're being reassured there must be a foundation, a secure rock of faith to stand upon, a place to meet the immortal one in man. Nothing is true but love. Go into the still deeps of love. I love that. Go into the still deeps of love. Drink of my life from the roots of joy. Go deep down to your roots. Do not be intimidated by an appearance of darkness. Do not be moved by dark thoughts. You have looked only to reason, only to cause and effect. Had you obeyed my command, look unto me, the light would have revealed oneness through every atom, every drop. Be quickened in grace, in outpouring love. Do not be in doubt, half alive to my life, but seek the eternal depths of joy. Express the beauty, joy, radiant happiness. You are blessed when faith ascends. You are blessed when truth redeems you. Truth is all powerful, all loving. Freedom leads to truth. Freedom emanates from truth. Truth is unconditioned freedom. And again, Karen's meditation directly addressed freedom as the purpose of that particular meditation. And she was, again, freeing herself from the idea that occurred in her mind, that freedom from believing that idea turns her back towards truth, aware only of itself. The freedom from that thought and the turning away from that thought shines directly towards truth, emanates. The freedom emanates from truth. She wasn't looking at the falsity, the pretending, the voice that said, "You're a wife, you need to, you have responsibilities, you're obligated, all of that voice." She looked away from that voice to unconditioned freedom, not to the voice that was sharing conditioning. You should, you could, you this is who you are, this defines you. All lies, all untruth, all pretending, conditioning. A learned set of rules. Those things come after freedom. They never were free, never will be free, ever. Her exercise is about returning back to who I really am before all of that, before all of the conditioning. All of it. So again, freedom leads to truth. Freedom emanates from truth. Truth is unconditioned freedom. Abide in the omnipresent love. Do not rise on fleeting breezes that die away and let you down on the rocks of distress. And Regina described that this week in one of our tips as, the leaves that are swirling and twirling. And A Course in Miracles describes that very beautifully as well. The patterning of leaves that, they form a patterning an instant, and then then they're off into some other pattern. Don't chase after that. See it, be with it, allow it, accept it, but rest, abide with constancy, with truth, with the never changing. Do not rise on fleeting breezes that die away and let you down on the rocks of distress. You know, those thoughts, that conditioned thoughts that habitually show up in the mind, telling you that you're other than who you are. They're never true thoughts. They dash you into darkness. Don't believe them. Don't go there. So, once more, do not rise on fleeting breezes that die away, even the good stuff, where we get a little high because something good happened, or things went my way, or health-wise, I feel great today, or the sun is shining instead of it raining, you know, whatever the good stuff, a beautiful sunset, whatever it might be. Don't rise on that fleeting breeze, because tomorrow, that's what the inner voice, that's what the voice in the mind says. Tomorrow it could be really crappy. The other shoe could drop. Life could get, you know, crummy. Don't listen to that voice. And don't rise even on those. Always abide in the omnipresent love. Good times, bad times, all times. Always abide in the omnipresent love. That's the freedom. Don't rise on the fleeting breezes that die away and let you down on the rocks of distress. My light permeates your eyes and seeing mind. The holy light is clear. The holy light is clear. And I'm going to read this very last paragraph. Thank you. Yes, I noticed, Cheryl. I'm going to read this. Beloved, it's a reminder, give yourself to me that I may make myself clear to you. I mean, how else can it happen? If I'm not giving myself over, how else can he reach me? If I'm closed off, how else can he reach me? So again, he's beseeching, beloved, give yourself to me that I may make myself clear to you. Now is the day of at-one-ment. Now is the day to live. In this very hour, this very moment, now. And I'm going to end there. I'm ending on page 224, right at the very top. And I started on page 219, 219 to 220, the top of page. Well, let's just say I finished at 223. 219 to 223. And then I'll begin at the top of page 224. But there's that simple reminder, give yourself to me, and I'll make myself clear to you right now. Okay, guys, thanks for joining me. I'm giving up the mic, and we'll listen to some great music from Sting. Thank you.
Every move you make, every a bond to break. Every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, and every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see? Smile you fake, every claim you stick, I'll be watching you. Since you go, I've been lost without a truth. I dream at night, I can only see your face. Every move you make, every step you take.